Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan shot today.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
I don't know if you could describe it as a funk, but this three-game stretch has been very difficult on a 22-year-old rookie franchise quarterback. And maybe it's up to Thomas Brown, or the hope might be that he is able to help Caleb Williams recapture some of what's missing.
The Bears.
He's got a charisma. He's got personality. He's going to be impressive.
I'm not in any way trying to stop the enthusiasm for that.
And here it comes. Let's listen.
Why is he here? Because it didn't work in Carolina. I'm not damning him by the fact that he worked there or anything like that. But not only did he work there, not only did he get that job, but then he ended up here because it didn't work.
It's the Panthers, man.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Such a fun content. Just love listening to your show.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Break up the Bulls. Break up the Bulls, Mr. David.
Morning, Mully. Yes, happy Thursday. What a win in New York for the Bulls. That was entertaining basketball. You know what? That was a good way to break up this Bears drama that we're all in the midst of. Watching the Bulls last night blow a 22-point lead, pull it out at the end. Kobe White hit three free throws, and then everybody hanging on for dear life as that ball rattled in and out of Jalen Brunson's shot. And boy, Bulls celebrate. Exhale. Good victory.
Dare I say, leading to an even greater one.
Friday night, they play the Cavs. Still undefeated.
Part of my Friday night glory. I cannot wait for Friday night.
I thought the same thing. That's funny you say that, because I thought the exact same thing, because the Cavs just held on
barely
last night.
Yep.
They're kind of getting to that point where the streak is long enough to think about it every time they have a lead, and now the Bulls Friday can break it, snap it.
And I'm going to say it. It's the NBA Cup, so all the rules can be thrown out.
I forgot about that part.
Yeah,
the NBA Cup. Oh, I cannot wait to see that gaudy floor.
So can you imagine the Cavs, for all everything they've done so well and how great their undefeated season has been, getting eliminated from the competition
they would,
that will wind up in Vegas?
They won't be eliminated, would they? They would just, it's the first
pool mind,
play in your mind. And
get rid of them.
They're off to a historic start. They're kind of getting to the point where they're vulnerable. And the Bulls, they could go into Cleveland. They could win a game.
I thought they would be eliminated. I thought it was an NBA Cup. I thought it was like single elimination tournament. It goes down to now.
I don't know what the rules are, to be honest with you. I think that there is some sort of pool play.
I thought
because they're in a weird division with the.
I thought it was like the FA Cup.
Celtics and the Bucks and
it's pool play. It's Tuesdays and Friday nights, and then they get down to a final four.
I want to eliminate them.
No, it's pool. It's a pool play.
Let's get rid of
them.
One and done.
That'd be awesome.
NCAA tournament style.
Yes, I thought that was the whole point.
I don't think it's awesome. No.
Oh, it'd be great.
The rules.
It would be awesome if it actually was. Like to your point, Mully, like in the season, and then you took like a week. You had to sit down for a week. right? And it was like you didn't get paid. Like you missed two games.
Survive in advance.
Yeah, because you're going to get money for surviving.
Nonetheless, it will be a good game Friday. I don't want to get in too deep in the rules of the FA Cup or the NBA Cup or whatever.
Can we just talk briefly about the FA Cup? No, I'm just joking. But I do want to say that according to what Billy said yesterday, Lonzo Ball is eyeballing, he said, Friday or Saturday. I heard beating the Cavs in the NBA Cup.
Possibly.
Come on now.
I don't know. It's Friday or Sunday would be back for Lonzo's return. I think probably more likely Sunday than Friday. But more the merrier because they need this bench. They came through last night. And Kobe White was clutch. Just clutch. Gets fouled. Oh. Three free throws. Josh Hart is lamenting that foul. And Knicks fans probably hated it because that's the one thing you could not afford to do. Is foul a three-point shooter, and he let him have it.
He didn't foul him. I thought that could be they could have made that more serious. He clobbered him from behind and hit him in the head.
And yet they still had a chance, the Knicks did, to win it.
Yeah.
Jalen Brunson.
He got a look.
Went in and out, and boom. They waste a 46-point effort by Karl Anthony Towns. Boy, is he good.
Well, against the Bulls, he was great.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't guarded.
No.
Resistance was minimal.
He could shoot from the outside, and he scored a ton from inside. He was all over the place. He was a problem.
Wasn't that – I think one of the stats was that it was the most points by a Knick against the Bulls team in that series ever?
Is that right?
I think it was. I think that was one of the stats that came out of last night. You saw that had to be a tough loss for Tibbs to take. Wow.
Oh, can you imagine?
He's just so intense still.
Oh,
love it.
That's so funny.
I love it. You know, it was nice. I was listening to part of the pregame with Chuck and Bill and Alyssa Bergamini, and they talked to Tibbs about when the Knicks come to Chicago in January 4th, Derrick Rose night, and hearing Tom Thibodeau talk about Derrick Rose brought you back to that time and a special time in Bulls history,
Do you agree with Tibbs, who said he thinks he's Hall of Fame?
I heard that, and I was going to ask you. I don't know that it is as certain as Tom Thibodeau made it sound.
I love his reason, though. Did you hear his reason?
The fear in the eyes.
The eyes of opponents.
Yes, I loved that.
It's great.
And it's a great way to put it. And you know what? He would be the one who could speak to that better than anybody, and that's why I don't think it's an argument we would probably win with him, because he would be very convincing.
Well, I mean, do you think at some level he feels slightly culpable for the way the guy's career went off the rails?
Interesting, Dr. Mulligan.
Put back into a game, a playoff game.
It's interesting psychological look at
this. I'm just wondering.
It's possible.
Maybe he argues even better.
I didn't look at it that way. I looked at it like he could relate to and understood just how far Derrick Rose had to go because of what he had to overcome.
Right.
Not necessarily his role in that.
I see now. Now I'm being, now you make me look like a bad guy. I'm just curious if
it's a good
one
question.
Of the reasons that he
it's
feels
a fair question.
This. Yeah.
That's an interesting debate. But last night was a lot of fun to watch.
It is an interesting debate. Wasn't it fun?
It was just a nice diversion.
Jalen Brunson, man, if you had like NBA rights because of where a guy grew up, well, first of all, who knew he was going to be this player?
I don't think we knew.
No way.
Didn't you sense he would be a grinder in the NBA? Maybe a guy who stays on a roster for a long time. Maybe comes off the bench. Maybe does a lot of the things that are smart guys play. But he is a killer. He's a clutch player.
He's a clutch player.
He is a killer.
Dead-eye shooter. I watched him, obviously, in college. And we were both at the Final Four that year. That was Loyola's glorious Final Four run, and he was leading Villanova to the championship. And I thought he was a good player. I knew he was a good player. I remember his high school career. But you look at him physically, and that doesn't scream dominating NBA player. In other words, you don't think, well, his unbelievable quickness makes him unguardable.
Nope.
Or, my God, what a sky boy. How can he get up like that?
Nope.
He is just you don't want the guy taking a clutch shot against you, and he runs the team. But I would not have anticipated that he would come out of that draft, and clearly the NBA didn't anticipate him be the player he's become.
He's a winner. He's a competitor, but he's the rarest of shooters. He just can put the ball in the basket from almost any – he gets his shot off in ways you don't expect. Even that last shot that rimmed out,
yeah,
how he got that shot off, falling away, and turned –
And the kind of height he needed on that shot,
yes,
as well to get it over.
You're 6 feet tall. You're playing amongst trees.
You know, and I don't want to be mean about it, but you're 6 feet tall, and it's not like you've got an NBA body.
You're stocky.
Yes,
stocky.
You're solid.
Maybe some people might call it pudgy. Is he pudgy?
I would never call it pudgy.
He's a little pudgy.
Would you be offended if you were called pudgy?
I've been called pudgy my whole life.
See, but I told you he'd be offended.
I'm not trying to
offend. Husky section of Zayers.
I love Jalen Brunson as a player.
Right.
But I just think that when you look at him, our point is that you don't see NBA superstar, and yet he's paid like one. New York celebrates him like one.
Yeah.
And you see last night, and you're reminded why he is one.
But you could go to a concert and see that guy and have no clue that he played in the NBA for a minute. Just saying, he's a normal-looking man.
Yes, he is.
Average kind of
height. He's very relatable.
Yeah. I mean, you know, okay, Steph Curry is like, you know, probably 6'3".
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you look at NBA players, you don't realize the height because, you know, when you cover the NBA, and I've had the great pleasure of doing so, you do, like, you're talking to people that are 6'10". I mean, they're very tall.
And we watch a montage of LeBron highlights. It's just kind of get out of my way.
Oh, my God.
I'm coming through with this locomotive.
Right.
And I'm going to go right by you or through you.
And that's the thing.
The NBA.
It's like, you know, when you run into LeBron somewhere, you're like, wow, that guy played in the NBA.
Exactly.
Look at that guy. Oh, my God. That you don't get that feeling from Jalen Brunson.
No. Good win for the Bulls, though.
Good win.
Really good win. Yeah. I started to get a little frustrated seeing Patrick Williams have a couple bad defensive possessions, but then I think all's well that ends well. So.
Well, I think that when you give up the lead, when you're up 20, whatever it was,
22.
In the third quarter, 22, and then you all of a sudden you give up the lead in the fourth quarter. They come back, they take the lead. To hold on and win that game and to have three free throws hit at the crucial moment in the game, whatever it was, 3.8 seconds left, whatever it was, to have Kobe White go up there, get fouled on that three, and not only did he make those shots, but like as the announcer was saying, you could see in his eyes.
You did.
Like his confidence.
Yes.
Like there was no question that he was knocking out those free throws.
No doubt. Yeah, all certainty. And while we're
cojones.
Talking about things that went well for the Bulls, a moment of respect to pay to Ayo Dosunmu. Boy, he continues to be a guy who may not start games, but he closes them.
Yeah.
And he has key defensive possessions, and he can get the stop.
Yeah.
He can hit big shots. And
he makes a lot of winning plays.
He's a winning player.
Winning player.
And that's talking about a local guy.
Yeah.
Made good. He's another guy. Comes from Morgan Park, Illinois, and he is representing the Bulls quite well, and he's a clutch player as well.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Fun.
I agree. It's a good point. But if he were a dead-eye shooter, he'd be, you know, Jalen Brunson, right? I mean, he's even a better athlete and a better kind of body guy. You see what I'm saying? Like, I'm not trying to be mean about it, but just incredible.
And Zach LaVine giving him credit as well. 31 points. He went off in the first half.
Big game.
And they're a different team when he's playing like that. They really are.
But Karl Anthony Towns, mother of God, getting his way. You know.
That win will bother some people. That win by the Bulls will bother some people who were geared toward
defense.
Wanting them to lose. Wanting them to intend.
Oh, yeah.
To go down that path.
I can't get there yet.
I can't either because last night you're watching.
5-7 right now?
And you're watching that, and I can't imagine watching that game and hoping that the Bulls blew it.
I know.
Because it's like they're coming back. Oh, wait, they're blowing the lead. No, they're coming back now. Oh. Would you have been happier if Brunson would have buried that jumper? No. I don't think so. Anyway.
That's a good point. Anyway, it was fun and it was good. And it was, as you say, a very pleasant distraction from what is going on with the professional football team in town. It's been a wild week already, and they're only just beginning their preparations for the Green Bay Packers, who come here on Sunday, and the Flower brings in his team, and he is dominating the series against the Bears like few coaches have. And, you know, frankly, I think we've seen enough of that. I think there's a lot of people in town that are tired. A lot of Bear fans have seen them lose far too many games to the Green Bay Packers. And there's not a lot that makes you feel like the Bears are suddenly turning everything around here because they've just fired an offensive coordinator.
You don't get that sense.
You don't get that sense.
It's not only the Packers time or season. It feels like it's the Packers era.
Yeah.
In this rivalry.
No, it does.
You know, when you look at the 5-25 record and the terrible showing at Soldier Field when they come to town, it's a rarity. I this has got to be some sort of anomaly for one coach to dominate a rivalry as much as Matt LaFleur has in his first 5 years in it. 10-0 is remarkable.
Yeah, it is.
And so we hear yesterday from all the people involved, except Ryan Poles, which I thought was interesting and intentional, but we heard from everyone else, and I don't know that you came out of it with a greater sense of what's going to happen on Sunday. If it changed your mind, we'll get into that, but Thomas Brown was impressive. We thought he would be. He was very charismatic, and you could see why he would win the day. Winning the press conference doesn't mean you're going to be able to beat the Packers, but he did win the press conference.
Yeah, I would agree with that. He did it, though, by having sort of you got a sense of sort of inner confidence from the guy. You just got a sense that he's been down this road. He knows what it is. He's not overwhelmed by it. He's not wowed by it. And he's not going to put his foot in his mouth. He's not going to answer a question that he doesn't want to answer. He came across so much better in the room than the guy he replaced. It was almost, we talked about that a little bit. When I think the first couple times we saw him and heard from
him, he's in command.
We were kind of like, oh, this guy, this Shane Waldron has got very little chance here. He didn't get the sense that he communicated very well. Whereas this guy definitely knows how to communicate, and he definitely seemed in command. Didn't say a heck of a lot. Didn't want to say much. And I don't know that there were real tangible takeaways as to how or why, or you know, the way in which he promises to get this done. He's just going to do what he has to do.
Wednesday was about style, not substance.
I agree.
And he certainly delivered that with a little bit of a flourish. And I think he is somebody who you have to remember, and this is maybe projecting, but Thomas Brown is not only trying to make an impression that he's the right guy for this job now, but he essentially is speaking to the rest of the league when he's behind the podium at Halas Hall.
Yeah.
Because think about how difficult his reality is right now.
Yeah.
Go call plays for a team that's headed in the wrong direction. You've got 8 games, go. So, and if you do it well enough, what happens? Is he going to stay as offensive coordinator? Is that really a plausible scenario that Matt Eberflus is likely to stay here and retain Thomas Brown? That's a long shot. Everybody knows it. So he's essentially auditioning for his next job.
And the odds are he's going to need one next year.
Yes. So he needs to represent himself in the best possible way.
Yep.
He's not going to engage in any nonsense about when he's asked about something like Nate Davis, that's not for him to respond to.
I thought he handled it
He
well.
Did.
That's exactly what you say.
So Thomas Brown was very impressive, and I think you'll continue to see why. People have identified him as, oh, yeah, I could see him being a head coach one day. Yesterday after that, I'm like, I could see him being a head coach one day.
No, he did well. I mean, I don't know that I would hire him or put him in I'd throw his name in the hat for the job that appears to be opening at the end of the year.
I'm not saying that. I know
you're not.
Yeah.
I wasn't accusing you. But of all the things that I heard, and I mean, you heard everything, right? I thought DJ did a really good job. I thought that, you know, there were some moments with Matt Eberflus where I just kind of, I kind of squirmed a little bit, if
as,
you will.
As usual.
Yeah,
as usual.
Yeah. He's in a really
bad
position.
It's not his thing.
not his thing, but also just not his thing. And I thought hearing what Keenan Allen said might have been like it was at the same time a kind thing to say, an incredibly damning thing to say for the head coach and the general manager and everyone in the brain trust at Halas Hall,
by
the way.
It was a terrible thing to say.
But I thought it was a truism as well.
Well,
I thought it revealed more than anything else. Let's take a listen to what Keenan Allen said about Shane Waldron yesterday.
For me, I'd probably say just probably too nice of a guy. I think OTA's training camp kind of fell into a trap of letting things go, not holding people accountable, and obviously those things get into a little slippery slope.
So what types of things are you talking about?
Just being, kind of professionalism, just doing things the right way from the beginning.
Oh, my God.
What are you talking about?
Does the coach follow practice? No one else? He casually tells you that they were on the slippery slope. That he
back in OTAs.
Oh, my God. Was that unbelievable?
Too nice.
It started then.
Oh.
The attention to detail and the problems with the team. Was there no one there that was watching? Well, didn't we talk about the idea that the guy that you really wanted to know about was the offensive coordinator? If you had hired that guy, would you not have watched him like a hawk?
And wondered how he was communicating and connecting with his players.
And if you were a football guy and you noticed any slippage, would you not be the most vocal head coach in the history of the league?
See, Keenan Allen is being candid and being honest and being introspective and all those things. But what he did was not just describe and indict Shane Waldron. He indicted every member of that organization that they did not apparently see this unfolding in front of them. How do you let this happen to the point where you're 9 games in? And the last thing, I know we'll get to pick 6, but Molly, this is what I couldn't help but wonder as we watched Thomas Brown yesterday. He was so impressive to me that it made me wonder how in the world he could have interviewed for the same job that Shane Waldron interviewed for, and they gave the job to Shane Waldron, who I'm sure did not interview better than that or could have made an impression better than that.
Or how about the other 5 guys that went on to be offensive coordinators in the league? I mean, I'm just saying.
But the point is that
6 guys that you'd hire over them.
If you're comparing apples to apples and bear assistant to bear assistant who interviewed for the same job, Shane Waldron got the job over Thomas Brown, but they could not have based any of that on the interview. So it makes me think that it was predetermined.
This was
a rigged election. This was something that they went into it. They knew who were they going to hire. And why did they know who they were going to hire?
Because shadow team president Trace Armstrong told them who to hire.
The more you heard from Thomas Brown, you might have gotten excited. There was energy. There was enthusiasm. There were all the things. But then you're like, why did it take 9 games?
Well,
why didn't they do this before? Why did they hire him in the first place? And Keenan Allen underscored that with those comments.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Keenan Allen with one, and honestly, it was a kind comment. He made, oh, he's too nice a guy. Whatever. But it was the single most indicting thing I've heard this season.
Do you think he told anybody else that?
I don't know.
He's not part of the leadership council.
Is there no one there capable of noticing such things? Did they let it get to a point where they were on the slippery slope? And when are you supposed to sit up and take notice? It's not. I'm almost confident. I know I'm correct in saying it's not week 9.
Hmm. Well, was this something that they should have known?
Yes.
Vetting him.
Yes.
In Seattle.
Thank you.
Watching him in OTAs.
Did they vet him? Or did they take one man's word for
it? That's what I'm saying.
If
that is the case, then every aspect of this operation is worthy of questioning to the degree we're questioning it.
Yeah, no question about it. All right. We've got to get to the pick 6. We've got all the Top stories of the day. We're going to pick them apart and have some fun with them. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What is your take on the way Caleb Williams handled questions about whether his teammates have his back in wake of reports that some veterans asked for a change at starter and Tyson Bagent, the Bagency, to replace him? Williams said he does feel the support from teammates.
I think I got full support from them. I've gotten texts or calls or people coming up to me, you know, with this situation that just happened, coming up to me and saying, we got your back, we're with you, you know, things like that, and let's go. That kind of mindset and attitude has been what it's been this past couple of days, and that's kind of what it's only been.
What's your take on how Caleb Williams handled questions yesterday at Halas Hall?
You know, I got to be honest with you. He did fine. I didn't have a real problem with how he handled it. I just hate that it happened. I just hate that you're halfway through the guy's rookie year and this is where the Bears are at. They have somehow not figured out how to take control of the locker room, or they've allowed this to happen to the point where you're asking these questions of the young man. I just think there's better ways of handling this. There's better ways of dealing with the development of a young quarterback than allowing it to get to this point. So, I mean, did he seem slightly annoyed by it? Wouldn't you be? I'd be very annoyed by it. I think he, you know, he kind of handled it. He did fine. He's done very well since he's been here. But this entire thing isn't going well, guys. Are we paying attention to what's been happening here? You gotta put these fires out long before there's ever smoke to them, okay? So, I am frustrated by everything that's happening with the Bears these days.
Well, I think we can all agree on that. I don't think anybody's not frustrated by what's going on with the Bears. I don't think he had a great day up there. He seemed perturbed by the whole thing, having to go through the paces. I get it's hard, and we kind of touched on this yesterday a little bit. If you guys want to go there later, we can. But again, easy for me to say from where I sit. I haven't been at Halas Hall asking a question for a long, long time. But the idea, like, I would have loved that specific question, though, about, you know, you may not have seen them, but there are reports out there from, you know, credible people in the NFL. And even if you want to go with the four-letter network's top guy, suggesting that players in this building wanted you benched in favor of Tyson Bagent, your reaction, please. Like, you know, wow, you know, I would have loved to have seen his body language or how he would have answered that one.
Yeah, I'm surprised that wasn't asked, to be honest with you, given how much attention it's getting paid and we're giving voice to it, which I think is it's a premature and overreaction to the problem. Tyson Bagent isn't going to fix this. Sitting Caleb Williams isn't going to fix him. This isn't a problem you address that way. So I was a little surprised that he wasn't asked about that. Look, Caleb Williams has got to lock in, and he's got to refocus and redirect this season. And I think what you saw yesterday was a young man trying to do that. You know, he's not going to – you don't want him to be enthusiastic and carefree and as – you don't want him doing the types of things he was doing earlier in the year when he was easy confidence and the swagger. He has nothing to be that confident about right now. He has nothing to be that glib about right now. You want him locked in. This is a serious approach to a serious job. He's a quarterback of the Chicago Bears. We refer to him often as the CEO of that franchise. There's nothing to laugh about. There's nothing to dismiss. There's nothing to sound happy about. Your boss got fired, and you're the part of the reason why. So you have to take on that kind of responsibility and be a professional. What we heard yesterday was Caleb Williams, professional quarterback. I want to hear more of it because he's got to lock in now. Thomas Brown's got to find a way to reach him and bring him back to get him to connect with his teammates in a way that's not happening and to get him to be the quarterback that he can be. Let it rip, young man. Don't be so tentative. Be the quarterback that won the Heisman Trophy, that was the number one overall pick, and looked like, for stretches this season, the guy that justified all the hype. Yesterday was Caleb Williams, I think, recognizing what's at stake in the final eight games.
That'll be an interesting question to ask moving forward.
That's Brad Biggs. He's here at 7. Let's take a break from the Bears for a second. We got plenty more Bears to come. But what stood out about the Bulls game against the Knicks last night? And where does each team stand in an Eastern Conference that isn't really unfolding the way we might have thought before they tipped off?
I didn't expect the Cavs to be unbeaten. I didn't expect the Bucks to be the most disappointing team in the NBA. I didn't expect a lot of things going on in the Eastern Conference. The Knicks are competitive. They're going to be there, probably. The Bulls, I don't think they fit into that conversation with the other teams that are surprising, and they're not the most disappointing. They're kind of in that weird middle, the place where you don't want to be. Last night was fun, though. Madison Square Garden, Zach LaVine comes out on fire, reminds you just what he's capable of on the sport's biggest stage. That's what you want if you're a Bulls fan. That's what you want if you're a Bulls organization. Hey, look, rest of the league, this guy can play. This guy can fill it up. Now, if that leads to making him easier to trade, I think that's what a lot of people would like to see, and that's, to some people, is the purpose of this season. But for one night, this was something to celebrate and to enjoy and to watch Zach fill it up, to see Kobe White hit the clutch free throws, to see Io play clutch down the stretch. Patrick Williams even had a couple key possessions that were good defensively. So this was a fun victory for the Bulls. They nearly blew it, but they didn't. They had a 22-point lead, and they had to hang on for dear life. But it was a lot of fun.
David, I couldn't agree more. That game was a lot of fun. I stayed up way later than I had hoped night because I got in on the second quarter on TV. I got Chuck and Bill in the beginning of the game. I got in on TV in the second quarter. Zach's performance kept me through halftime. I actually sat up in bed to stay awake with it. What a good, it reminded me of kind of the old days. And there's just something, I've never been to Madison Square Garden. It's on my list. I've been lucky to go to a lot of places. I've never been to Madison Square Garden. I walked by it. I've seen it. I've touched the building. Never been in the inside, though. There's something about that building that just leads to special nights in sports. And that was a really good, competitive, fun, old-style Eastern Conference basketball rivalry game. We need more of that, please.
It was a great time. It was really a fun, fun game. And it went back and forth. And the idea that they hung on to win that game, it was just fantastic. Now, you know, as I'm getting ready for the game and I'm going through different things and reading different things, I stumbled across a story, and it was, it was just out of New York, I believe. But it was like, one guy to keep an eye on in the game is Kobe White. He could be on the trade market as they start trading everything. I was like, just like, God, I gotta tell you, I just went through a season where you just watch Cease get traded and you watch the worst season ever. That's no fun, man. It's no fun to sit here, and we do it every bloody day. Bellinger's coming back. Trade him.
I know.
Who are they going to trade him to?
I know.
Like, it's just, it's like, so everything. Tired. And now, like, you know, Kobe hit a shot. Trade him. Like, I just can't.
He's more marketable now.
I know. I'm like, it was so much fun to, while all this stuff is going on and all your thoughts about the Eastern Conference and the overview and all that, it was just fun to watch a game and to have a team have a horse in the race, and they played really well. And then all of a sudden the home team comes charging back and they somehow held on. It was satisfying. Can't I just watch a sport and not have to trade everybody?
Yeah, I appreciate the question.
That's a great rant.
How much will Thomas Brown's strong first impression matter against the Packers on Sunday, and what was the most important thing he said?
You know, I don't think it was a specific thing. I think it was the way that he carried himself, honest to God. I don't know that there was one moment where I was, Eureka, man, that's football gold. He has figured out how to uncrack the quarterback. It was more the demeanor and the way that he talked about winning and what you have to do on offense than any specifics. He didn't deal with specifics. And he didn't – I liked that he didn't want to compare – he's the bad rookie quarterback whisperer. You know, he didn't go there. He wouldn't go there. Everything is different. This guy knows the situation. He knows what he's getting into, and I'm sure he's well aware they're averaging 9 points in their 3-game losing streak, and they haven't scored a touchdown in 2 games and 23 possessions. Oh, and by the way, convert a third down. Maybe that'll help you score some points eventually. I think we all know what the problems are. We will see that unfold, what he does. This was more a day about showing that you feel capable of what the job is at hand, as opposed to giving us a tactical X's and O's explanation.
I loved his effort and attitude line, and I think it not only applies to his team at Halas Hall, it applies to everybody. It's one thing you can control. When you wake up in the morning, when you walk into your place of work, you effort and attitude. Like, again, it's, listen, life's hard. You know, even when you make $1 million a week or $1 million a year or $40 million a year or $35,000, life's hard. No matter what, there's problems, life happens. So you are able to control that. And I think the reason he said that is because he saw that that was an issue. There was a lack of that, of doing that when you walked into Halas Hall. And we've heard that from others starting, you know, it was kind of out there. And then Jalen Johnson, you know, put the nail in it saying the guys here are not thirsty enough. These things all tie together. And then we heard the answers from guys. We're going to hear more of that this morning. Energy. So this is what energy can carry on to the field. Our guy DJ Moore talked about there's an energy, a life. There was a life in the meeting. This guy played the game, and I think that helps. I think there is a respect. I played the game. I've done what you did. I've been where you are at. I can help you win. I think you could see a carryover in what we talk about all the time. The number has gone down. Started at 6.5. It's 5.5. What does that mean? People are investing in the Bears right now. It's crazy.
He's an easy guy to believe in. He's an easy guy to expect great things because he talks in a way that is impressive. It is infectious. And he definitely gives you more reason to believe that the Bears are going to, score a touchdown Sunday than something they haven't done in the previous 2 games. Thomas Brown comes at the right time. This offense can go nowhere but up. He will galvanize this group in a way that is necessary. I don't know if it will be enough. We'll look at the game as we progress, but what you want to see is an offense with a little bit of life. And you're right, the line, this guy's well coached in his profession, in the game of football. Sounds like in life, too. You can only control your attitude and your effort. And he seems to do a nice job of managing both of those. So that's a good message to send. You want to see this offense get in and out of huddles quicker, have play with a little better pace, because that's where you think things were lacking as much as anything. Tempo. Look like you know what you're doing. Look like you want to be out there. And the Bears' offense has been stagnant. It has been stale. But it is no longer, because Thomas Brown is here.
Yeah, it's a good question.
All right, speaking of questions, here's another question. What did you think of Keenan Allen saying this about now-departed offensive coordinator Shane Waldron?
I mean, I'd probably say just probably too nice of a guy. I think OTAs, training camp, he kind of fell into a trap of letting things go, not holding people accountable, and obviously those things get into a little slippery slope.
So what types of things are you talking about?
Just being, you know, kind of professionalism, just doing things the right way from the beginning.
How much influence does Keenan Allen have, do you think?
I'm not sure how much influence he has, but what he doesn't realize is that he just indicted every member of the Bears management team, ownership group, and coaching staff. This could be the quote of the year. This could be the thing that, coming from a veteran like Keenan Allen, just casually, seeing something, saying something about a guy who wasn't qualified for the job, and he knew it back in June. How did this go on as long as it went on? How is this tolerated? And how do you come out of this without any other conclusion that the Bears don't have a standard? There is no standard in the building. This culture talk is nonsense. If it wasn't nonsense, a veteran like Keenan Allen wouldn't have to point out that Shane Waldron didn't hold people accountable and was too nice of a guy. He was a nice guy. Nice guys finish where? You know, last. Keenan Allen said the quiet part out loud, and now it's going to resonate and echo for the rest of the season into the offseason. You've got a head coach who has had 8 assistant coaches fired or resigned in the last 15 months. That's instability that the Bears organization can't tolerate if they know what they're looking at. And based on Keenan Allen's comment right there, I don't know if Matt Eberflus's bosses know what they're looking at, because they should have seen it too. So this was as indicting of a comment as you're going to hear from a veteran player. Good for Dan Weider on the follow-up question. And I don't know how many people heard it. I don't know how many people were there to hear it for the first time, but we're not going to forget it anytime soon.
Well, I think, and David, I'll say that everything you said was spot on, and I think it could end up being, unfortunately, the quote of the year. It really, the 2024 Bears, and then you play that clip, right? Like, especially if they do what I've said and they only end up winning 4 games the rest, you know, this whole season. But the players ended up having a say in all of this. Their frustration was seen and heard, but it took a long time. I mean, it's almost as much of an indictment as that is on Shane Waldron. It's a bigger indictment on who? Matt Eberflus. And is Ryan Poles, you know, Ryan Poles during Hard Knocks made it look like a guy whose cell phone and office is open to his players constantly. How open was it? Because if he was getting texts, and if Keenan Allen, you know, slid by, knocked on the door after week 2 or during training camp and said, you know, where I've been over the last decade, this, and this never happened. This Shane Waldron, are you sure about this? Then they waited way too long. And you could say, well, it's only week 9, Dustin. You know, it's only 9 games in for the Bears. Well, yeah, but I mean, these are important times to develop QB1, and they're not doing a very good job of that.
I've got to tell you, I think. I think there are moments in life when someone just makes a casual observation that is like the most damning thing you've ever heard. We stop cold and you look. That's how I felt when I first saw this quote. I couldn't believe it, because it's just a casual observation. It's almost like if I were to say a truism to you, well, you know, they say it's always dark before the dawn. You know, the reason that you say that is because it's always dark before dawn. Yeah, you know, here comes the dawn, and yeah, it was pretty much pitch black. It's not like it's not like you have this incredible insight. You're just kind of like, oh, by the way, did you happen to see the mass murder? That
it was pretty matter of fact.
It was very matter of fact.
Yeah.
But it was also, it was so implicating guilt and blame. It's almost unbelievable. How do you casually mention, he's just too nice a guy. You know, he let it all go. There, every little detail that you really have to be careful about. It was never, everybody just kind of passed over it. And this started, basically, he's saying that the first meeting, the first practice, the first moment the guy was in charge, that guy's not going to work. That's what he's saying.
They knew.
Everybody in the room knew.
And everybody in the building knew.
But how in the name of God did it go to week 9?
Well, that's why it's the quote of the year.
That's why it's the quote of the year. It is the quote of the year, and it is about as damning a quote as you're ever going to hear from someone.
That's another really good question.
All right, how about Buster Olney reporting the White Sox will trade Garrett Crochet this winter, and they're looking for a similar deal like the one they sought at the trade deadline a year ago. Big name position player prospect plus other players. How about Boston's 25-year-old Gold Glove right fielder Wyler Abreu as a nice start?
I got to tell you, I saw his name everywhere for the last couple of days. This really out of Boston. So the Sox have begun this process. They're talking to a lot of people, and they are kind of collecting names. They've let it be known that they would be willing to take a pitcher, but they prefer a field position player. And they want so this Venezuelan outfielder, first of all, Abreu on the south side sounds good.
Sounds good.
But you got a
MVP.
He was traded, right? Didn't he start in Houston? He's a Gold Glove player in his first year as an MLB starter. Pretty good.
Is he too old for you?
I mean, he's 25. I mean, I feel like...
I know you like younger players.
That's not true. He's like a young guy that's not quite in his prime or entering his prime, but they have nothing. You need professional baseball players. They are going to trade this guy. So now the question comes down to what package they can get. We know that they've already made a trade at the trade deadline, and they didn't get anything. In fact, they helped the team win a championship and got nothing really out of it. So I think, I want a guy that I don't believe I want prospects. I like the idea that he's got a year in the major leagues. 25 is probably a little older. But I like it. I like it. I like this player. He'd be fine with a lot more added. You need a couple more things. I mean, I get it. You're not going to get two or three of the top guys from an organization. But you got a left-handed power pitcher that strikes people out. It is a lot of value. And let's hope they make a good deal.
Well, Juan Soto is in the conversation for the Red Sox, and he plays right field, so I guess this guy would be boxed out to an available. You know what would be a nice start, in my opinion, is signing Garrett Crochet to a not necessarily monster deal, but a very good deal that you potentially, in the middle of the season, could trade for after he maybe started, 7-1 with like a massive difference between a strikeout-to-walk ratio. Everybody knows.
Dustin. The question is the question. The question is that they have the story is they've decided to trade him this offseason, and this is what they're looking for. And how do you feel about that?
I don't like it.
Okay, but they're not going to re-sign him. I think we all would love that to happen, and that's why we're talking about it in this way rather than should they turn tail and
I just feel it's a bad negotiation. Everybody knows that he's out there and available. Okay, now you just lost your leverage. Maybe he shouldn't be out there and available.
You need more than one team. You got to get as many teams. They're talking to everyone.
It's very similar to the Dylan Cease negotiations. Everyone knows that the Sox are in business and want to trade him. But it's competitive, not necessarily with talking to the White Sox, but I think the Red Sox have to come up with a better package than, say, the Orioles or maybe the Padres. And I think that's where you do, if you're Chris Getz, weigh one against the other. I think you're right. I mean, obviously, in a different world, in a different organization, perhaps we'd be pounding the fist and say, you know, sign this man, yes, lock him up long term. White Sox just historically haven't done that, and I don't get any sense that they're going to do that now. So I think when you look at the options, Abreu is a very intriguing possibility, but he's got to be part of a bigger package. I think when you look at him alone, he's a defensive plus, obviously, gold glover, and he gives you that in right field for years to come. But I also think that, you know, you worry a little bit about the splits against lefties. He's not a, you don't want him to be a platoon player, certainly, if you're going to give up somebody of Garrett Crochet's caliber. You want somebody who can hit lefties, righties, and closers and starters. You want somebody who's an all-around player. I wouldn't hate this trade, but I also think you could use these reports and go to Baltimore and say, you know, we're close, or Baltimore sees this and they know they're talking, because they got to be competitive with the Red Sox too. If the Red Sox are going to get Soto, what do they do with this kid? The Orioles, to me, always have been the team, if you're looking for positional talent and prospects, that match up best with the Sox. You look at their organization, you look at their rankings, we'll know the names by February if we don't know them sooner, because that is the team I think has the best, biggest amount of prospects. But I don't hate this possibility. I just think it's the beginning of it's an ongoing conversation. What can the Sox get for Garrett Crochet, because they're hell-bent on dealing him?
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
Are you gearing up in any way to watch Tyson-Jake Paul fight on Friday? That's tomorrow night. Does it matter that it's on Netflix and not pay-per-view? And does the 31-year-old age gap between the fighters and the possible experience ruin it for you?
I'm not quite sure what that's getting at. The 30-year, the age gap makes me seem like I worry for Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
But I don't know that anyone ever should worry for Mike Tyson. I think he can protect himself. I did not have this circled on my calendar. I know you guys will be shocked by that. I likely will be watching the Cavs and the Bulls on Friday night, but I will maybe pay attention to this so I have something to offer. Besides, it's on Netflix? Really?
Isn't that great?
Well, I did put it on my calendar, and then I had to change my calendar because they changed the date of this fight. So it has been on my radar. I grew up buying pay-per-views with a buddy of mine for years. Well, actually, our parents buying the pay-per-view most of the time until we got later on in life. Then we bought our own pay-per-view. But I grew up watching Mike Tyson come in with a towel with a hole cut out and put his head through it. No socks. Probably had little socks on. Maybe no socks. I mean, again, the baddest man on the planet. When you talk about a moniker, the baddest man on the planet. This fight is absolutely wild, though. Just, David, earlier in the show, we were talking about rules that you didn't want to hear about. Well, you're going to hear about them now. It's 8-round fight.
Yeah.
It's 2-minute rounds.
Right.
They are wearing 14-ounce gloves instead of 10-ounce gloves. In 7 states where it is legal to gamble, you cannot bet on this fight. And the different books, okay, we all of us here endorse a different sports book right now. Lots of good business here. Circus Sports Illinois. Mike Tyson is minus 125. He's a favorite. He's minus 125. The place that David is at, he's minus 205.
I can see it, Dustin.
Minus 205. Wait a minute. Jake Paul is minus 205, but Tyson's minus 125. And in the middle, there's a Paul minus 165. So what the heck is going on? It's wild. It is absolutely must watch, must see. If you got a Netflix account, you don't have to pay anything extra. There's 2 fights before it. It's happening in a Jerryland. Hopefully the sun goes down and the sun doesn't get in anybody's eyes, or we might have a punch that goes
David
the wrong way.
David was talking road trip in the pregame.
Yeah, no shot. You want to host us, David? We can come over and we can all watch it on Netflix together?
Absolutely. Yeah? I can't wait.
Listen, this is like morally wrong. The whole thing is a farce. It's a YouTuber against a washed up 58-year-old man. Like, I understand the farcical nature of this, and I understand that you know, Jake Paul isn't really a fighter, but I like what he's done for boxing, because he's helping youth, young people get interested in boxing. If nothing else, go back and go to YouTube and watch some highlights of a young Mike Tyson. Holy mother of God. He was a force of nature. You know, I remember all of that stuff. Constantine D'Amato, Customato. He, you know, taking this kid in, finding him. How old was he? 11, 12 years old. He was in the Catskills, and the kid was at a reform school relatively close. I'm just saying,
I would watch that
Mike
movie.
Tyson, that movie.
I won't watch this fight.
And that's fair. That's fair. But it's like, I will never forget, I believe the Bears were playing a game in Tampa, and I flew out early so I could get up to my hotel room, which I had checked beforehand, and I knew that it had cable television, and I could get...
That's why you booked that hotel.
George Foreman fighting Michael Moore for the heavyweight championship of the world, and George was how old, and he knocked the guy out. George was like, it was the most ridiculous thing ever, and it was a spectacle and everything. The thing about this fight is that if you don't like Jake Paul, and who does, if you are nostalgic about Mike Tyson, and who isn't, and I understand all the horrible moral aspects of this, a 31-year age difference, and all of it, but all it takes is one punch, and if somehow Tyson could come out and I remember I was in Australia at the time when he fought Michael Spinks. Do you remember what a big deal that was? Michael Spinks, he was in the military. He's a classically trained fighter. His jab will hold. Tyson walked through the jab and knocked the guy out in about 7 seconds. It was like an unbelievable. I was literally wasted a lot of money watching that fight on pay-per-view. But the fact is that I am going to watch this, and I'm looking forward to it, and I love that it's on Netflix because it's still pay-per-view, right? But I have Netflix, so I don't have to pay anything extra because I probably would have paid money to see it. And I know I'm a boob and a clown and a fool for understanding that this thing is just a circus sideshow, and I can't help but get involved. All right, the extra point is next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
After inspecting the injury report as thoroughly as Mully recommended, how are you feeling about the Bears' chances now? What's the biggest development?
I was all over this injury report the minute it came out. I was studying it, and
it's a lot there.
There was a lot there. I think that, number one, Jaquan Brisker, boy, I hope they do the right thing for him. I'd be surprised if he comes back over a month with a concussion. You want him to be smart, and I think the Bears will. Number two, Montez Sweat did not practice. Bit of a concern. I wonder now, is it an ankle? Is the ankle related to the shin? Is the ankle connected to the shin bone, which is connected to the who knows where that is headed?
Them bones.
Montez Sweat's got to play for the Bears to have a chance. He has to have his Khalil Mack moment against the Packers. And I keep referencing that night in Lambeau in Green Bay in 2018.
but that's the kind of effort it's going to take for the Bears to beat the Packers. I know they didn't that night, but that's the kind of thing you want to see from Montez Sweat. So missing practice, does that matter? We'll see. The biggest news to me, the biggest development as we inspect the injury report, was the Bears have both offensive tackles, both starting tackles. Braxton Jones on the left side, Darnell Wright on the right side, looking like they're going to play, trending in the right direction. So when you do see that, you find yourself a little bit more encouraged. So that's a good sign, and that will make this game more competitive. I don't know if it's enough for the Bears to beat the Packers, but that was a positive development on Wednesday.
Having both tackles practice yesterday, probably just a walkthrough yesterday, that's great news. That's very good news because it strengthens your inside as well, because a couple of the guys that were playing outside now have the opportunity to move inside, and inside was a bigger issue last Sunday than outside was.
I think the last 2 weeks, looking at the injury report, has kind of told you who was going to win the game. That's how important it has been. So I think this is a really important one. And I agree with you. The headline would be the offensive line getting better. It's trending toward improvement come Sunday's game. That might give them a chance to win. I am bummed that Montez Sweat missed practice. We had talked about that. You knew that there'd be like another injury, something new added. His ankle, we've been counting on the ankle to be messed up too. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. You want to win this game, you're going to need him to not just be fit, but to also be at his best. So I'm really glad that Ryan Bates wasn't on the injury report or some other offensive lineman. It would go a really long way. Is Jaquan Brisker out for the year, David?
I think that's the way this is trending.
They have announced that he's not playing in the game. He's
out for this week.
He's out for this week, but I mean,
he has to ramp up.
It's been a long time.
He has to get back, and then you have to justify putting him back on the field after what would be an 8-week absence, 6-week absence, and I just don't know, given the nature of the injury
and the frequency of it,
and the awareness and concussion seriousness of that condition. No, I don't think that. I'd be surprised if he's back.
This year?
Yes.
And what about in his career?
I think then that's a bigger, broader question, because it's third year in a row, and he'll have to look at what's ahead for him. This isn't a quarterback who can stay out of harm's way by being a quick release guy like Tua. This is a safety that is in the middle of every potential play.
Tua can't stay out of his own way.
Well, he's got to learn. He's got to learn how to play and protect himself. Players have to protect themselves. Quarterbacks can do that maybe easier. I know that sounds crazy, than a safety could.
No, it's a good point.
But if you're a safety, you can't be doing your job if you're just playing one part of the game. You've got to defend the run, and that's a dangerous, violent job.
312-644-6767. That's the telephone number. It is Mully and Haw on the Score.
Yeah, here's what I say about fixing the problem. So it starts every day we walk in the building. What I said to the team today and to our offensive staff and players is two things you control when you walk in the building. It's your effort and your attitude. So it starts there first, right? How we approach the meetings, being detailed, being locked in, and then transferring that to the actual practice field, being intentional about the walkthrough, but also making practice as hard as humanly possible so the game can somewhat become easier. So to me, that's going to be our focus, what we're locked in on. And so understand that practice preparation always leads to game day execution. So that's our focus.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That was the introductory news conference of the Bears' new offensive coordinator, the former passing game coordinator, Thomas Brown. And he did very well for himself. He won the news conference, if that matters at all.
I think it does matter. You need to lead with confidence. This group lacks it, and he did. I respect a coach that in his first, basically, day on the job, new job, that he leads with these kind of mantras, the things that you can control, your attitude and your effort. You know, preparation leads to execution. I know it sounds coachy. I know it's the coachiest of coachy things, but he said it in a way that made you want to say, nod your head. Yeah, I get it. I get why you're here.
I get why Sean McVay liked you, vouched for you, recommended you. This is a guy with a lot of charisma. He's got some energy, and that translates well.
Yeah, I got to tell you, it was, you know, I think they're better with Shane Waldron gone. I think they're better with this guy in charge. But I also, it's really hard not to. I don't want to separate the fact that they hired the wrong guy and they fired a guy because they hired the wrong guy. And the other thing said during the day with the quote of the year.
You're right about that. We're all right about that. Yeah. But that's a different topic.
I know.
And it's a task for another time or day. What you focus on, and again, this is what I like about Thomas Brown. He has no time for that.
Right.
He has no time for Nate Davis and what went wrong and why he's not here. He has no time for anything than preparing for the Packers, getting his players in the state of mind to beat them, and getting his quarterback reeled back in and say, you know what, show me what you like, and then show me why you're good. Remind us all of why you were the first overall pick.
312-644-6767. A lot of people want to check in. We'll start with Joe. Joe's in Lincolnwood. Hey, Joe.
Fellas, thanks for taking a call. Listen, just hearing Thomas Brown speak in a press conference demonstrates the difference between dynamic, effectual leader, and an ineffective, uninspiring leader. And I think he's going to get the best out of their talent. Whether that leads to a lot of wins, we don't know. But at least they're focused on the task at hand. And to David Haw's point, exactly. Because you had this guy in-house, and it demonstrates what's wrong and dysfunctional with the Bears on so many levels. Because the only reason we had the previous offensive coordinator is because that's who Matt Eberflus wanted, and Ryan Pohl supported his decision, which reflects the condition of the offensive line, reflects badly on Ryan Pohl's and his decision-making. And on a grander scale, you know, if the Bears would have committed to Arlington Heights, if they had been aggressive and stuck with it, they possibly could have been breaking ground on a new stadium by the late spring or early summer of this coming year.
Thanks, Joe. Thank you, buddy. We got to hit a break. But
a lot of good points.
Yeah.
Communication matters.
Right down to the stadium talk. Yeah. All right, we got Biggs time next. Mully and Hall on the score.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.